Gemara in Shabbos in Daf Chaf Gimel mentions the various brachos that are recited at the time of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Of course, the bracha of Lahadik and Shas Nisim and Shachianik. The bracha, of course, of Lahadik is clearly on the Maisad Mitzvah and Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. The bracha of Shas Nisim and Shachianik is somewhat unclear. After all, the Gemara tells us that not only a Madlik, but Haroeh, Mevarech Shtayim, even a person who is not lighting Ner Chanukah at all, he can still recite the bracha of Shas Nisim and Shachianu. And that before one can understand in one of two possible ways. One is that all three brachos relate to the mitzvah sadlaka, but perhaps there are two kiyumim, what we discussed even last week. And that is, there's an element of the maisa mitzvah, hadlakas ner chanukah, but there also is an element of prisumenisa. We discussed the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba, to what extent there's an independent maisa mitzvah hadlaka aside from any aspect of prisumenisa. If it's already lachar shetich l'rego manashuk, is there any kiyum hadlak at all? The Rambam writes no, and the Rashba writes that yes. But everyone agrees that part of the element, the kiyum of Ner Chanukah, is in fact Prisimenisa. So therefore one could argue that perhaps all three brachos relate to the mitzvah sadlaka, but Haroeh, even though he's not doing the mai sadlaka, nonetheless can still recite the Berachos HaMitzvah because of the kiyum of Prisimenisa. If you look, however, in Shiltos, the Shiltos and Shilta Chavav seems to indicate that the bracha of Shas Nisim is a very different type of bracha. The Shiltos writes that Yomad di Yisraches Nisa li Yisrael, that at a time when Nisim occurred to Knesset Yisrael, one is obligated to recite the bracha of Shas Nisim. The Shiltos does not relate it to Maisa Hadlaka as much as to the Chaloshem Yom. It's hard to speak on Chanukah of Kedusha Sayom, but the Chaloshem Yom, Zman di Yisraches Nisa li Yisrael, that is what requires the bracha of Shas Nisim, even regarding the bracha of Shechianu. We pointed out Shechianu can be recited in two very different ways. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah Daf Mem Vav, Shechianu is recited on a mitzvah, which is Asim Yizman Mizman Deino Tadira. But the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem also has Shechianu on Kedushas Hayom. When we recite Shechianu, for example, on Sukkot night, it's a twofold Shechianu. It's a Shechianu marking Kedushas Yom of Chag HaSukkos, and also a Shechianu on the mitzvah of Yeshiva Sukkah. Normally the two go together, but it need not necessarily be so. If a person, for example, for whatever reason is not sitting in the sukkah that first night, he'll make a Shechianu on Kedushas Hayom, and subsequently, the first opportunity for the Kimis of Yeshiva Sukkah, he'll recite a bracha of Shechianu for the Mitzvah Sayom. See, even Shechianu itself can be understood on the Chaloshem Yom, but also on the Mitzvah Sayom as well. If you look, for example, in the Meiri, in that sugya, Daf Chaf Gimel, the Meiri writes the following Chiddush, that although the Gemara says, Haroeh Mevarech Shtayim, that Roeh is Lav Davka. Presumably, if a person is not lighting, what does that mean? He doesn't have a home, he doesn't have a Maisa Adlaka, but certainly he'll be able to see the Neros, so therefore he will be able to experience that sense of Prisumenisa. But the Meiri writes that even if a person is not a Roeh, a person is completely by himself, without experiencing any element of Prisumenisa, nonetheless, he recites the bracha of Shas Nisim and Shechianu. According to that Chiddush of Meiri, clearly, it's not on the Maisa Hadlaka, it's not a Berachos HaMitzvah, it's not on Prisumenisa, but rather it's on the Chaloshem Yom, as Pashu Pshat, the Shiltos writes as well. If you look even in Maseches Sofrim, Maseches Sofrim, Perachav, there the Maseches Sofrim has a very different order to the Berachos Chanukah. The first, of course, is the bracha of Lahadlik. The way we have Maseches Sofrim Perachav is it's followed by the bracha of Shechianu, and then you have the bracha of Shas Nisim. And furthermore, Maseches Sofrim writes that before Shas Nisim, that's when you recite Haneros Halalu. How do you understand that order? Well, the bracha of the Hadlik clearly is one which is on the Maisa Hadlaka. That certainly is over Lasiyasa. What about the bracha of Shechianu? Perhaps that has a twofold kiyum. Number one, it relates to the Maisa Mitzvah, like Sukkot night relates to Yeshiva Sukkah, but also relates to the Chaloshem Yom. And the bracha of Shas Nisim, that's not considered to be part of the Berachos HaMitzvah which are over Lasiyasa, but rather that's considered to be part of Berachos Sheva Falda, as the Shiltos writes that Yomad Yisrachesh Nisil Yisrael. So number one, it's not over Lasiyasa, but generally as Berachos Sheva Falda, as we discuss in Berachos Harisin, Achar Asiyasa. And furthermore, it's necessary to have some Sipur Hanes before reciting the bracha of Shas Nisim, just like as a Mashlam Adav Adom at the Seder. First we engage in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then after that's done, then we recite the bracha of Asher Galanu, the bracha on the Nes. So too, first the Sipur Dvarim, to be able to describe Haneros Halonu, and then to recite the bracha of Shas Nisim. So again, the Sefer Sofrim Pashup Shat is assuming not the Birchas HaMitzvah of the Asiyasa, but rather a bracha of a Birchas Sheva, a bracha of a Chaloshem Yom, which is in fact Lachar Asiyasa. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the practice of his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, was on the rest of the days of Hanukkah, not the first, to go ahead and to make the bracha of Lahadik, then light a single nair, and then make the bracha of Shas HaNisim, that at once it's Lachar Asiyasa of the Igra Mitzvah, but it's still over the Asiyasa of the Hidra Mitzvah, still considered to be the Meshach Asiyah. Right? On the first night, where there's only a single candle, then you have to take a stand. So there, follow the Pesach Halacha and Shulchan Aruch to recite all three brachos over the Asiyasa. But the practice of Rav Soloveitchik was in Shari Yamim to split the brachos, as indicated in Maseches Ofrim. There's even a machlokus between the Rambam and the Rashba that seems to fit possibly with this approach, and that is the following. The Gemara tells us Haroma Varashtayim. That means a person, let's say, who is not fulfilling the mitzvah Sadbaka, he can still recite the bracha of Shasa Nisim and Shechiyana. What about not that case of Haroa, but rather simply, Hidlikoilav B'Soch HaBayis? Let's assume it's not that I didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and all I'm doing is a roe, and on that I'm obligated to recite a bracha. No, Hidlikoilav B'Soch HaBayis, that someone already lit for me in my home. Let's see, Tosas Ashita, for example, that Mahajim in a Mahajim means not every individual lights, but rather a single menorah per household. So all of a sudden, he dikla besocha bayis. So I didn't answer amen. I didn't respond to the bracha. I didn't recite a bracha. Do you still recite the bracha of Shasan Yisim or Shachianu? So the Magid Mishnah writes in Perek Gimel Hachadalet Bukhus Hanukkah that according to the Rambam Shita, that Harom of Arashtayim is not only referring to a person who does not light, and that is the extent of his participation in the mitzvah, but rather even an instance where he dikla besocha bayis. And the Rashba raises a sakasha that how can that be? That lo matzino yotzi de mitzvah umavarech. Where do you see a case where a person has already fulfilled the mitzvah, then afterwards he's reciting a bracha? A person who is a roeh, who is not bin madlik, that is his kim of Ner Chanukah. But one in a case of hidikola besoch habayis, so in such a case he was already yotzin. So in that instance, where do you see that the bracha can be recited subsequently? So the Chor one could argue that's exactly the machlokas. If you assume, like the Rashba's kasha lo matzino yotzi de mitzvah umavarech, that kasha seems most compelling if you assume that Pashab Shatas and Shulchan Aruch, that all three brachos should be over the Asiyasa. They relate to the mitzvah sadlaka. So in such a case, if a person's kiyam ha-mitzvah is ayyadeiriya, that's true. But you, who idiko b'soch habayis, so you are mekayim the mitzvah sadlaka. So in such a case, you aren't recite a bracha. But if you assume that no, as the Shultel says, the Meiri, that no, it's a bracha on Yom Yisrachesh Nisli Yisrael, see, even someone who has already fulfilled the mitzvah of hadlaka, ayyadei acherim, hidikula besocha bayis, nonetheless, that does not mean that he does not recite the bracha of Shas Nisim and Shechianu subsequently. Even if you look in Tosas and Sukkot Mem Vav, Tosas raises what seems to be a very unusual kasha. Tosas writes, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, Chazal were kavya bracha for the madlik, and also for the roeh. So Tosas raises, why is that not true when it comes to other mitzvahs? How come you don't have, right, a bracha on Riyah? Right? Why is it that on Sukkah, on Lulav, for example, we don't say that one who fulfills the Maisa Mitzvah recites this bracha? And a person, for whatever reason, who can't, one who doesn't have a Sukkah? So in such a case, at least, there should be a bracha on Riyah. It's an unusual kasha that Tosas raises. But if you assume that the bracha of Shas HaNisim is a bracha on the Chaloshem Yom, Yom Yisrachish Nisli Yisrael, that's one of the terutz in the Tosas, then Enochinami, it makes sense that this should only be true at a time of Chanukah, for example. It doesn't apply when it comes to other mitzvahs. If you assume that no, it's a bracha that relates to the mitzvah sadlaka, and that means that Chachamim were interested in being koveya bracha not only for one who participates, but one who cannot, well, then you can raise the kasha. What about when it comes to other mitzvahs as well? For example, as Tosas raises, why is it that we don't argue that one who has a home makes a bracha likbo mezuzah? One who is homeless, so just like he doesn't have a hadlaka, he doesn't have home for mezuzah, so too, why is it that Chazal were not koveya such a bracha regarding mezuzah as well? That's all fine and good if you assume that the bracha relates to Maisa HaMitzvah. If the bracha, however, is a Yom Yisrachish Nisal Yisrael, right, so in such a case, then obviously it doesn't apply to lulav or to sukkah or to mezuzah. It's uniquely true right? When there is a nes that occurs, there's a concept of prisimanisa, a concept of afin hayabosu hanes, then there's a bracha of shas hanisim, but it wouldn't apply to other mitzvahs as well. So perhaps the whole kasha and tosis is tuturusim, it revolves around this issue. The machlokas rishonim as to the nature of these brachas. As far as the Seder HaHadlaka, here, as you know, the Gemara and Shabbos and Achlafala from the Beis quotes the Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in terms of the order of Halakas Ner Hanukkah. The Gemara says, according to Beis Shammai, you start with 8 and you count down. According to Beis Hillel, as we assume, of course, the opposite is true. And the Gemara mentions two possible explanations for Machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, one possibility is Yamim HaNichnasim. The second possibility is Pari HaChag, that just like the Karbanos of Sukkos were in descending order, the same thing is true when it comes to the Seder of Ner Chanukah as well. And according to Beis Hillel, the reason we count up is either because of Yamim HaYotzim, or else based on the principle of Marlin V'Kodesh V'Ein Moridim. It's questionable. Shitas Beis Shammai, who in some sense seems to use Pari HaChag, the Karbanos of Chag HaSukkos, as an indication of how one should be madlik Ner Chanukah, very simply, what is the link between Sukkot and Neros Chanukah? Rav Soloveitchik once commented that perhaps Beis Shammai does not mean that there's any inherent link between the two. Beis Shammai simply is countering the argument of Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says, of course, the concept of Malan B'Kodesh. Is that the Rav Poshut? Or is that a Chiddush? Of course we have a concept of Malan B'Kodesh Memoridim. The Chiddush of Beis Hillel Shita is that normally speaking, Malan B'Kodesh is a halacha not in Minyan, but rather a halacha in Chetza. Let's say you have a chetza which is endowed with a certain level of kedusha. So in such a case, malin bakodesh. Let's assume, for example, a person that has something for tefillin, it can't be used for any purpose. It has to be used for a higher level of kedusha. Now, if a person will sell tefillin, you can't do anything you want with those mos, but rather you have to use it to purchase that which is on a higher level of kedusha. That's the halacha normally of Malin B'Kodesh, when you have a Chefza which is endowed with Kedusha, so therefore Malin B'Kodesh, Shem Aridin. What is the Chiddush of Beis Hillel? Here we're not addressing any halacha of Chefza. Here simply we're talking about sequence and order and minyan. No? And here Beis Hillel writes the following Chiddush, that just as there's halacha of Malin B'Kodesh when it comes to a Chefza Shal Mitzvah, so when it comes to minyan as well, that the order should be an ascending one, counting up as opposed to counting down. Soloveitchik once commented that perhaps Beis Shammai's argument of Pari HaChag is not the basis of their Shita, but rather that is simply, right, the Pircha, that's to counter Beis Hillel. That you see from Pari HaChag there's a sequence of Karbanos, and yet the order decreases. So you see that there's no halacha of Malin B'Kodesh when it comes to sequential order. When it comes to Kedushas HaChetza, then there's halacha of Malin B'Kodesh. But you see from Pari HaChag, when it comes to Minyan or Mispar, that certainly is not true, and therefore the Kovei is Yalim HaNichnasim. That's why you count from 8 down. There are indications in the Rishonim that perhaps there is a link between Sukkot and Chanukah, and that's the basis of Beis Shammai Shita of Pari HaChag. If you look, for example, in Aruch HaShulchan, in Taf Reishayim, Aruch HaShulchan quotes the Sefer Chashmonaim that writes the following Chiddush, that as the result of the many gzeros of the Yevanim against Klal Yisrael at that time, they were unable to offer the proper Karbanos HaRegel during Sukkos and during Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, in some sense, the celebration of the Chanukah HaMizbeach was not merely a celebration of Chanukah, but in a certain sense, it was to serve as a tashlumin for their inability to offer Karbanos during Sukkos. That's what the Sefer Chashmonaim writes. In fact, if you look at the Rimi Lunil, right here in Shabbos, in Al Kabbalah from the Beis, there, again, the Rimi Lunil is bothered by the Rishonim that why is it that Chanukah is 8 days? Why isn't it less than 8 days? 7 days, if that in fact was an ace. So the simple terrace the Rimi Lunil gives is that they were Koveya Chanukah to correspond to Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres. And therefore, they were Koveya the Shira as being 8 days of celebration based on the concept of Pari HaChag. That's why Beis Shammai felt that this should be a proper makar for the Seder HaHadlaka. And if you look in the Sefer Rokeach, one of the Bali Atosos in Simon Reish Chafei, the Sefer Rokeach points out that if you look in Parshas Emor, there's a smichas haparshios, that the Pasuk speaks about Chag HaSukkos and all the mitzvahs of Sukkos, the Sukkos Teishu, and immediately Vayidar Moshe Esmo Adi Hashem, and then the Pasuk goes on and tells us the mitzvah of Hadlokas and Eros. Shemen Zayis of Kasis Lamar. So the Sefer HaKeach writes that there's a remez already in the Smichas HaParshios, equating Sukkos with the mitzvah of Hadlokas Aneros, and therefore Chazal patterns certain aspects of Chanukah based on the Yantif of Sukkos. Beis Hillel Shita, of course, as we assume the halacha, is based on Yamim HaYotzim and the concept of Malin V'Kodesh Ve'ein Moridim. Is there any nafkamina lahalacha? Whether the reason we light as we do is because of Yom HaYotzim, or whether it's based on Malam BaKodesh. So one issue that the Chayadam raises in Klal Kuf Nun Dalet is also this. Levi discusses at greater length. Let's assume, for example, it's the fifth night of Hanukkah, and a person only has four candles. So what does he do? The options of Chor are either like four, or simply like one. After all, he can't fulfill the Mahajim and Mahajim, the Yom HaYotzim. So therefore, just simply revert back to the Ikar Mitzvah and light one? Or should you argue that no, good, he doesn't have five for tonight, but nonetheless, right, maintain the four? So some Achronim suggest the following Kiddush, that this Bechor should be dependent on Yom HaYotzim as opposed to Malam HaKodesh. If it's Yom HaYotzim, that means that the number of Neros must correspond to the given day. There's no Kiyam on day five to four Neros. In such a case, if for whatever reason you can't fulfill the Mahajim and the Mahajim, so you revert back to Ikar Mitzvah. That's what the Chayyadim writes. In Kuf Nun Dalet, if you can't have Mahajim and the Mahajim, so therefore light a single candle. If, however, you assume the reason is because of Malam Bakodesh, one could possibly suggest the following Chiddush, that Eino Chinami, ideally, Malam Bakodesh Lamoridin. But let's assume being Malam Bakodesh is not an option. You don't have the Neros to do so. One could certainly argue that it's better at least to maintain the same level of Kedusha as yesterday, as opposed to letting but a single Ner. So maybe one could argue that it's based on the concept of Malam Bakodesh. In such an instance, it is preferable to light the four which you lit last night, as opposed to lighting just a single Ner, reverting back only to the Ikar Mitzvah itself. If you look in the Gaon, Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin Aleph, the Gaon ties these reasons of Yom HaYotzim and Malam Bakodesh with a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. The Gemara tells us that again, the Ikar Mitzvah is Nerisha Besa, and Mahadrin is Nerla Chalecha Biachad. And now Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, means Yosim Nechnasim, that the candles that you light correspond to the particular night of Hanukkah. Tosfos writes the following great Kiddush, that it must be that Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, circumvents the stage of Mahadrin. In other words, if you ask me, what is the ideal Hadlaka? The answer is just simply, Yam HaYosim, Yam HaNechnasim. That means, as Tosfos writes, that one menorah per household. On the first night, you light one, second two, third three, and so on. And that avoids the Mahadrin issue. Why is that true? Why does Tosfos say that Mahadrin mina Mahadrin, the ideal hadlaka is simply one menorah per household? Couldn't one argue that Mahadrin mina Mahadrin has to accommodate both concerns? Number one is Mahadrin yada kolecha biyachad, and number two, that the number of candles that are lit also correspond to the particular night of Hanukkah. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam gives you as an example of Mahajim and Mahajim. The Rambam writes you have 10 members of your household. So Mahajim and Mahajim means to have 80 candles on the last night of Hanukkah. You have to first have Nela Chalecha B'Efa times the particular night. And Tosfos says that cannot be. You'll defeat the purpose of Mahajim and Mahajim. Why is that true? Because Tosfos assumes the following Yiddish, that the whole purpose of Mahajrin and Mahajrin is that correspondence, that it must be nikar, it must be apparent. You look at someone's Ner Chanukah and you can determine what night of Chanukah it is. So that means you're limited to a single menorah. So you can look and you see one, two, three, four, five candles. That will help. According to the Rambam, you're looking in the window, you see 80 candles. You're clueless in terms of what night of Chanukah it is. No, there's no way to determine. So Tosfos writes that it's absolutely crucial for Mahajrin and Mahajrin to be able to recognize the particular night of Hanukkah. And the Rambam apparently is not bothered by that at all. No, the Rambam is perfectly comfortable with seeing just simply a whole group of Neros without being able to perceive. You see 20 Neros, you have no clue. Whether it's the fourth night of Hanukkah, the fifth night of Hanukkah, you have no idea. What is that machlokas? The Gaon writes a Chiddush in Tafresh Shain Aleph, that perhaps that should be based on Yom HaYotzin as opposed to Malam HaKodesh. Tosfos clearly, the Gaon assumes, is working with Yom HaYotzin. Yom HaYotzin indicates that there must be a correspondence. This day relates to this number of candles. And that's the Chiddush HaTosfos. It doesn't just simply mean that Chazal used Yamim HaYotzim in order to determine how many candles he light, but rather that it must be Nikar as such, that by seeing the Neros you can realize this is the third, fourth, fifth day of Hanukkah. Mashenkin, if you hold it simply because of Malin Bakodesh, so therefore being able to recognize Oso Hayom is irrelevant. And that Pashup Shad is what allows the Rambam to assume that no, Mahajim and a Mahajim assumes, doesn't circumvent, assumes Mahajim. In such a case, both in fact have to be accommodated. This issue could be understood in another sense as well. When we speak about Mahajim, Mahajim and a Mahajim, regarding Hanukkah, is that the normal halacha of Hidur Mitzvah? Or is this something which is unique to the mitzvahs near Hanukkah? After all, the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, Nafkuf Lamagimel, when it comes to mitzvahs generally, there's a concept of Zekeli van Vein, Hisnala Fonaba mitzvahs. So Enoch and Ami here, Chazal, set a certain pattern, a certain requirement of what Mahadrin is, what Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, but this is not a new halacha, but rather this is the norm, this is the regular routine halacha that we have of Zekeli van Vein, Hisnala Fonaba mitzvahs. Right, if you look, for example, at Rabbi Nachmanel in Bava Kama and Daf Tes, there the Gemara discusses the halacha of Hidur Mitzvah. And Rabbi Nachmanel refers you to the sugi here in Hanukkah, Daf Kapala from the Beis, seeming to indicate that the Briskerov points out that according to Rabbi Nachmanel, right, this is not an independent halacha, but rather this is the halacha of Hidur Mitzvah, B'chala Torah Kula. If you argue that this is the halacha of Hidur Mitzvah generally, one could argue then as follows. When it comes to Hidra Mitzvah, the concept that something is apparent, that it's obvious, that is Nikar, that generally is true of Hidra Mitzvah. You have to perform a mitzvah in a fashion that it will be noticeable that one is doing so. So both in Hamahutar. The Gemara Yuman Dafayin, right, uses the language of Laharos Chazusa L'Rabim in order to demonstrate the beauty to others. There's a Tosas, for example, Menachos Naflamed Beis, that suggests the following Kiddush, that maybe there's a difference of Sirtuv when it comes to Sefer Torah as opposed to Mezuzah. Why is that true? Because Tosfos writes, the purpose of Sirtuv is a kiyum of Hidur Mitzvah, that's what Tosfos writes, to make sure that the Ksav is a beautiful one, and maybe there should be a difference between Tefillin as opposed to Sefer Torah, for example, because in Sefer Torah, individuals see the Ksav. But Shenki, when it comes to Tefillin, where the Ksav is Mechuset, is covered with Shas Mitzvah, so in such a case, maybe it doesn't have the same requirements of Hidur. In other words, that the purpose of Hidur is that it has to be that which is Nikar L'Acherim. If that's true, then one could argue the same is true when it comes to Mahajim, Mahajim, and Mahajim. That's why Tosfos assumes the Dvar Pashut that it must be Nikar. And therefore, if you're telling me Mahajim and Mahajim means Yamim Hayotzim, so therefore it must be Nikar as such that it's Yamim Hayotzim. And simply to have, right, a group of Ner Hanukkah, where you can't discern Yamim Hayotzim, Yamim HaNichnasim, in such a case that defeats the purpose of Mahajim. One could perhaps argue, according to the Rambam, that's not true, that this is not the normal halacha of Hidur Mitzvah, of Laharos Chazus L'Rabim, but this is an inherent part of the Mitzvah Sadakah, the Chazal or Koveya, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, not as Hidr Mitzvah B'chol HaTorah Kula, but rather as the Mitzvah Mina Mukhar, as Ner Chanukah as well. Rosh Hashanah once pointed out, when the Gemara says Mahadrin, if you look in Rashi and Shabbos Nav Chof Aleph, and the Rambam, Perek Dalet of Chos Chanukah, they explain a little bit differently. And the word Mahadrin, Rashi writes, that Bahamhadrin Achar HaMitzvahs. Mahadrin means those people, right, who are Mahadrin Achar HaMitzvahs. They do mitzvahs in a beautiful fashion. That seems to indicate the halacha b'chol HaTorah Kula. L'hadar achar ha-mitzvos, to do mitzvos in a beautiful and a glorified way. When the Rambam explains Mahadrin, he uses a slightly different term. V'amahadar es ha-mitzvah, right? One who embellishes, who beautifies this mitzvah as a mitzvah namuvchor of Ner Chanukah. Whereas Rashi uses the term Mahadrin achar ha-mitzvos generally, right, this is the type of person who wants to fulfill Ner Chanukah in a beautiful way, just like they'll have Tefillinah and Sefer Torahnah, Hulavnah and Sukkahnah, so to hear. The Rambam defines Mahadrin as no, the mitzvah namukhah of the key mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, something related both in prati to the Ner Chanukah, not necessarily the key above Hidur Mitzvah of Chol HaTorah Kula. This, as you know, is what the Briskerov discusses right, to explain the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramah. Assuming not like Tosfos, that Mahadrim in a Mahadrim is built on Mahadrim. Good, so that means when you sit down to light, you have to accommodate two different needs. One is Nevach Halech and Viachot, and the other is Yom HaYotzim. How do you do that? So the Rambam in Perek Daleth of Chanukah writes the following. Right? All of this is done by the Balabais. The whole question is very simply, as the Rambam himself asks, V'kama Neros Humadli. How many candles does the Balabais light? No? The Balabais sits down to pull the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So how many candles does he light? In the Rambam's case, 10 members of the family, 8 night of Chanukah, he lights 80 candles. That's the Rambam's Mahadrim and a Mahadrim. And if you look in the Ramah describes it very differently. That Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad does not mean Kama Neiros Humadlik, that a single Balabais lights for everyone, but rather, the Ramah understands that Ner L'chol Echad V'Echad means each person lights individually. That's the Chiddush of the Ramah. Each person lights individually. If you have 10 members of your house, each one lights 8. Not the Ramah, but the Balabais lights 80. So what is that machlokas? So the Brisker Rav explains the following Chiddush based on the Gemara in Shabbos, Nafkuf Lamed Gimel. The Gemara tells us when you have a Bris Mila, right, so Mikra Hadin, it's necessary to remove Rov of the Orla. Removal of all of the Orla, that the Gemara says, is a kim of Yidah Mitzvah. So the Gemara says the following, that as the Mol is doing my Sah Mitzvah, so therefore he should remove everything, even Sitzin She'en Makfin Esamina. What happens if for whatever reason the Mol stops? He does the Kashur Mila, and for whatever reason he stops. So the Gemara says he no longer is Chozer Al Sitzin She'en Makfin Esamina. So the Gemara writes, in order to remove right, the miut of Orla, the Hidr Mitzvah, that has to be done together with the Maisa Hamila. It cannot be done independently. Why is that true? The Biskrab points out there's a fundamental machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam in this regard. Rashi writes that we're talking about a Bris Mila on Shabbos. Right? The Gemara says Hamal. Rashi says one word, the Shabbos. We're talking Mila on Shabbos. What's the problem? The issue is a Chil Shabbos issue. That Mila is Dolcha Shabbos. That's good. But Hidra Mitzvah is not Dolcha Shabbos. So as long as it's done as one Maisa HaMila, that's fine. However, if the Mila has already come to the end, and now it's a Mila Kshera, and you want to do a new act of Chavala for Hidra Mitzvah, Hidra Mitzvah is not Dolcha Shabbos. So therefore, that's exactly what the Gemara says according to Rashi. Once you stopped in the Maisa HaMila, you no longer have a right to continue on Shabbos. If it was a Mila B'chol, of course you continue. Even Kayim, Hidra Mitzvah. Pashem Shat, the Mila on Shabbos, you don't continue now, tomorrow, then you can remove the Tzitzin, Shein Makben, as HaMila. When the Rambam quotes this halacha in Perek Daleth, Hilchos Mila, the Rambam quotes it on a chol. Categorically, once you stop, you no longer are chozer letzitzin shein makfin es hamila. Nothing at all to do with Chilul Shabbos. This is even true b'chol as well. The Biskrab writes, what is the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam? Whether Hidr Mitzvah can be fulfilled aside from, independent of, the Ikar HaMitzvah. Is it possible to have the Ikar Mitzvah fulfilled now? And let's assume it's sometime later to have the Kiyum of Hidr Mitzvah. Or do you argue, no, that's not true. Hidr Mitzvah is a description of the manner in which the mitzvah is fulfilled, but obviously, it must be done at the time of the Ikra Mitzvah. You can't have any hefsik in between Ikra Mitzvah and the Hidr Mitzvah. It's quoted by Shem Reb Chaim the following. Let's assume, for example, a person has to fulfill the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, and there are two esrogim that he has in front of him. And he can take both of them. Just simply a question of which one should he take first. One has a beautiful appearance. The problem is it might be Murkav. It may not be an Esrog, but if it is, right, certainly Hadar. The other one is Vadai Kasha, but of a lower quality. So which one should you take first? Reb Chaim just argued as follows, that if you take the Esrog which is Vadai Kasha, that's it. Midag ben Afik ben. You fulfill the mitzvah with that Esrog. Later on you're going to take an Esrog which is more beautiful. You have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Lekatzel Lachem in a more beautiful fashion. The mitzvah was already fulfilled with the first Maisa Netilah. If you'll take the one that is Mahudar first, then you can take that one. If esrog is kosher, good, you fulfill the mitzvah, right? Both in muhderes, beautiful. Then you can take the one as a safeguard, as vaday kosher. But once, in fact, the mitzvah is fulfilled, does it make sense now to say, I will move on for the kiyum of either mitzvah? Can that be? Rishkrav argues that's the chiddush of the Rambam. The issue is not one of chilul Shabbos. The issue is, can it be that now you're doing the Ikar Mitzvah, and subsequently, either later or someone else will fulfill the Hidr Mitzvah? If Hidr Mitzvah is not just a separate halach at all, but rather that is a detail within the Ki Mitzvah itself, in such a case, then, as one fulfills the Mitzvah, do the Mitzvah both in Hamahudar. If the Mitzvah is already done, then not. That, he writes, the Chiddush of the Rambam Shita. That the reason that if one already stops the Maisa HaMila, and the Mila is already a Mila Kshera, in such a case, there's no subsequent Kiyum of Hidr Mitzvah apart from the Ikar HaMitzvah. It must go hand in hand as part of the Maisa HaMitzvah, Ikar HaMitzvah. That, the Brisk Rav writes, is what drives the Rambam to assume that Nelech Lecha V'Yecha does not mean each person lights individually, but rather it means Kamen Erus HaMabit. But the Baal HaBayis does the Ikar Mitzvah, and someone else will go ahead and light for the Kiyum of Mahadrin. No, the two halachos are Tzlios Hebezeh. The one who fulfills the Ikar Mitzvah, he must do so in a beautiful fashion. What does it mean in a beautiful manner? The answer is, Nelech Lecha V'Yecha Yom HaYotzim. He should light the Mount of Neros together, corresponding to that Kiyum of Mahadrin. And a Mahadrin, that's the Chiddush, the Brisk Rav writes, L'chor, this is L'shitosei. Right, with the Rambam and Mila, that you can't have any distinction between Ikar Mitzvah and Kiyum HaMitzvah and the Hidra Mitzvah, and therefore you can't have the time lapse, nor can you have one individual fulfilling A, another individual fulfilling B. If you assume that it's an independent Kiyum, one could envision the Ikar Mitzvah by one, the Hidra Mitzvah by another, the Ikar Mitzvah now, the Hidra Mitzvah later, and perhaps that's the Chiddush Rashi, that the Gemara is only troubled by the Shabbos issue. But b'chol, of course, the person would even subsequently remove tzitzin, shein, ma'afin, and samila. It's a fascinating issue, again, to what extent Mahadrin and Mahadrin min ha-Mahadrin take on the characteristics of the Chumras of Ner Chanukah. For example, if you look in Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Ayin Aleph, there the Machaber writes that since Ner Chanukah, it has an element of presuming Nisa. So everyone is obligated to participate. Women are obligated in Ner Chanukah, afen hoy boso anes, and even an ami is obligated to be chozer al hapsachim. Well, just like the Mishnah says in the very beginning of our hapsachim, you have a person who's an ani, lo yifchus lumi dalek kosos shal yayin. You have to provide him with dalek kosos. Everyone must participate as well. Mishnah Berurah in Bir Halacha, this writes the following ha'ara. That even if it's true that an ani is obligated lachzer al hapsachim in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, that's only for eager mitzvah. But that's not for the mahadrin, mahadrin, and a mahadrin. That's the Be'alacha Kos, the name of the Chemed Moshe. And if you look in the Or Sameach in Perek Dal, Halacha Yud Beis, Or Sameach is Midayik in the Rambam differently. Because the Rambam describes the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, and the Rambam refers to Mahajim and Amahajim as well. Ula Hosif b'Shevach Hashem. Not enough to dikra mitzvah. When it's obligated to be Mosif. And then the Rambam writes, the Ani is Chos L'Apsachim. So the diuk of Or Sameach is that an Ani has to be Chos L'Apsachim not only for the ikra mitzvah, even for the elements of Mahajim and Amahajim as well. That could fit in very well with the Rambam's understanding. That this is not just a mitzvah klali sevida mitzvah. This is going to be part of the kiyum as a mitzvah mukhar of Ner Chanukah. And therefore, if Ner Chanukah requires even an ani to be chozal apsachim, so to enachin ami. The same thing would be true here as well. If you look in the Shuvas Rabbi Kevegan, we referred to this earlier when we were talking about Ovel Asiyasan and Achar Asiyasan, the Machlokas, the Rabban, or Zaruah, Rabbi Kevegan discusses whether a person can recite a bracha on Hidra Mitzvah. Rabbi Kevegan in the Shuvas and Simeon Gimel, right, has a couple of cases. Let's assume, for example, a person lit a couple of the Neros Chanukah and all of a sudden realized, no, he didn't make a bracha. He didn't make the bracha of the Hadlik. But he still has to light a couple more Neros to fulfill the Hajim and a Mahajim. Can he recite the bracha of Lahadlik, Ner Chanukah, on the Kiyum of Mahajim or Mahajim and a Mahajim? Or let's assume, for example, a person makes the bracha and he lights his four candles. Then he goes outside and says, everybody else lit five candles. See, wasn't Mekayim the mitzvah of Mahajim and Amahajim, Yom HaYotzim? Does he now light? And if he lights, can he do so? Right, with a bracha. Rabbi Kveger discusses. Rabbi Kveger discusses several elements in that shiur. Number one, he discusses the machlokas, the Rambam or Zeru, we discussed at length. Whether you can make a bracha l'achra asiyasa? Points out, according to Zeru, you can light all the candles and still make a bracha. A berachas ha-mitzvah. Because over the asiyasa is made in the chatchila. And then Rabbi Kveger tells you that even Rishonim who disagree with the Zeru, they still allow a bracha b'meshach asiyasa. So maybe after all, this is still considered to be Meshach HaSiyasa. If as of yet you have to fulfill Mahajin, and Mahajin and a Mahajin. And then Rabbi Kiver quotes the Machlokas between the Pre-Chadash and Eliyahu Rabbah, whether a person can make a bracha Mahadlik Ner Shal Chanukah on Hidra Mitzvah. Pre-Chadash writes no, but Rabbi Kiver quotes Eliyahu Rabbah that writes that you can, that even on Mahajin, Mahajin Min Mahajin, a person can recite the Berachas HaMitzvah. That also the Torah could depend on whether here Hidra Mitzvah is an extraneous, an extrinsic halakha, a separate kiyum, or to what extent is it considered to be an inherent part of the kiyum of Ner Chanukah itself. There's a chiddush that the Ritva writes in Sukkah and Daf Yiralev. The Ritva raises the issue, Zeh Kiyum HaBevi, Stam Lafana B'Mitzvahs. Is that a Din D'Oraisa? Or is that a din d'rabbanan? For example, the Gemara in Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph, lulav tzarech egen. Right? Shitas chachamim. You have to bind the lulav together with the hadas and arava. Why is that true? The Gemara says hidra mitzvah. So the Ritva writes, is that a din d'araisa? Or is that a din d'rabbanan? So the Ritva writes, a great kiddush. I'll prove to you that it must be a din d'rabbanan. Why? Because what happens if you didn't tie them together? Are you yotzei? Of course you're yotzei. Lulav tzarech eged is only a din. L'chatzila. It's not makiv b'di'evet. So the Ritva writes a great kiddush that you see from that that zek kev avel, yisnal lefana b'mitzvahs, is only a din. D'rabbana. Why is that true? Because the Ritva writes a great kiddush that there's no such thing as a din d'arais l'chatzila. If the Torah says you must do it and you don't do it, it's not din l'chatzila. The Torah says take lulav esrim hadas and arava, so you don't take the esrim. So what is b'di'evet yotzei? Of course not. If it's a din d'araisa, it's makiv b'di'evet. The fact that the Gemara writes that you're still makayim the mitzvah without an eged shows you that hidra mitzvah is only a din d'rabbanan. So it's not for us now, but that's a fascinating chiddush that the Ritva writes that we don't have dinim d'araisa l'chatchila. Is that really true? There's no din d'araisa l'chatchila. Every din d'araisa is makiv b'di'evet. But for our purposes, you see a further chiddush from this sheet of the Ritva. I could have argued that no, Hidra Mitzvah is a Din D'Araisa. And I could have agreed with Ritva that Din D'Araisa is not just the Chatzis and B'di'evet. So how do you read the Gemara that says, even if you don't have an Eger, you're Yotzei? Of course you're Yotzei. What are you Yotzei? The Kiyum of Lulav and Esrog. In other words, that Lulav and Esrog and Zeh Kiyum and Hidra Mitzvah are two independent Kiyumim. Of course, both are daraisa. Person puts on the tefillin shayyar and the tefillin shorosh. He doesn't fulfill the mitzvah tefillin shorosh, but he fulfills the mitzvah tefillin shayyar. Why? Because one's rabbanan, one's daraisa. No, because they're independent kiyumim. One could have argued that yes, he did mitzvah din daraisa. What do you mean you're yotzei without it? It means that it's an independent kiyum. But of course, you'll fulfill the mitzvah of dalid meaning without zakeim aveyu. The chiddush of the Ritva apparently is the following, that Hidra Mitzvah is not an independent kiyum. Hidra Mitzvah is the Torah's description of how every mitzvah must be performed as an inherent quality of that mitzvah. Then it should be makiv. Why is it not? The answer is because it's only a din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'araisa. But that's the chiddush of the Ritva. Right? One could argue it's a din d'araisa, but the fact that it's not makiv is like the tefillah shayyad. It's not makiv, it's tefillah shorosh. So you see a few chiddushim from that Ritva. Number one, hidra mitzvah is drabbanan, but in terms of the nature of hidra mitzvah, you see that it's considered to be an inherent part as a mitzvah mukhra, the kiyum mitzvah itself. This is a ha'ara that the Gon has as well. The Mechaber writes, our minhag, in Tafrei Shayin Vav, that we always light the new candle first. And the Gon writes differently. And the Gon writes that how is it possible to forsake
the Iker HaMitzvah, and to light the candle, which is the Mahadran there. Well, that's the Hara that the Gon has. But no, you're lighting the new candle. So what is the new candle? So you realize the Gon was lighting Samach LePesach. So in terms of Samach LePesach, the placement is very important. Now, the menorah is parallel to the closed door. So therefore, the one that is Samach LePesach, that's candle one. Right, the next is candle two, next candle three. So therefore, the candles, by virtue of their placement, are labeled. This is the Iker Mitzvah, which is most Samach LePesach. This, going out of the Pesach, is the Mahadran. So the Gon writes, how is it possible that you light the Mahadran first without lighting the Iker HaMitzvah? Right, that Ha'ara, the Macham and the Gon to Samson, could also be dependent on to what extent it's considered to be an independent Kiyum, or to what extent that Mahadran simply is, as the Rambam writes, Mahadra HaMitzvah, right, the Mitzvah Amuchar, right, to fulfill is to do so as a Mitzvah B'Shlemus. In terms of elements of Machshav regarding Hanukkah, let's point out the following. The Gemara tells us that the symbolism of the menorah, in many respects, it is supposed to represent Chachma generally, and in particular Chachma Satan. The Gemara tells us in Bavasra and Chafem Ubeis, then Harosa Shiyachkim Yadrim, that a person wants to attain Chachma, so therefore he davens facing Dara. Why? Simonecha menorah bidara, because that was the placement of menorah in the Mikvah Hashem. Or the Gemara tells us in Brachos Naf Zayin, Haroa Shemin Zayis Bechalom, Yitzap L'Chachma Satora. The person sees Shemin in a dream, that also is an indicator of Chachma. The menorah and Shemin have that message associated with them. Rabbi Nebuchai writes in the very beginning of Parshas Truma, for example, that the seven Kinei HaMenorah are supposed to represent seven bodies of Chachma. It's a comment that the Miri also has in his Pirusha Mishlei. Chatz v'amodei Hashiva. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world with seven pillars of Chachma, and that is indicated right in the Kinei HaMenorah. So certainly it's not coincidental that the menorah of Mikdash played a central role in the Neis Chanukah. As we've been reciting in Al-Hanisim, that part of the method and the goal of the Yevanim was l'hashkicham torasecha, and therefore what did they do in order to see to it l'hashkicham torasecha? Timu kol hashmonim. Their attempt was to be mevatel l'chokhmas haTorah, and therefore the Neis of the Pach HaShemin specifically that revolve around the menorah, which is supposed to represent the radiance, the illumination of the Torah HaShem. There's a beautiful comment that the Netziv has in the very beginning of Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Netziv writes that the Or HaTorah and Chochmas HaTorah is represented in two of the Klei HaMikdash. It's represented in the Aron and also in the Menorah. The Aron is very obvious. Right? The Aron contains the Luchos. The Gemara in the beginning of Babasra tells us the Aron either contained or immediately adjacent to the Aron was the Sefer Torah itself. Certainly, the Aron reflects the Torah Hashem, and yet this is also true right, of the menorah. And the Siv asks, what's the difference between Aron as opposed to menorah? The Kiddush that the Siv develops is that the Aron is supposed to represent Torah Shebitzah. The Aron contains the Luchos. The Aron relates to the Sefer Torah Shebeichel. But yet, in terms of Torah Shebitzav, the Netziv writes that Ein b'zeh koach ha-pilpul v'achidash. Torah Shebitzav is that which is fixed, that which is set. The menorah, the Netziv writes, is supposed to reflect Torah Shebapeh. What we refer to Talmud, Pilpulo Shel Torah, Chidash. The menorah did not contain luchos, a sefer Torah, no text, but simply, right, the illumination, the radiance, the Kiddush, the pilpul of Torah itself. And the Siv quotes the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis and Parshat Sadi Aleph, where the Medrash writes that whenever Rabbi Tarfon would hear a Dabar Masukah, he would hear a beautiful Kiddush, So how did he respond to that beautiful chiddush? He would say, Kaftar v'ferach. That melitza, Kaftar v'ferach, is based on Rabbi Tarfon. So Netziv writes that, again, it's not incidental at all that Rabbi Tarfon used imagery from the menorah to represent Chiddushei Torah. Because that is the purpose of the Ner Torah, the Neros of the menorah itself. Then Netziv writes an incredible historical ha'ara. Netziv writes that B'bai Yesheni, Sherabu HaYeshivos, V'hemidu Talmidim Harbe, in the time of B'bai Yesheni, right, there was an abundance of Torah Shebal Peh. There was great learning in Yeshivos, V'hemidu Talmidim Harbe. So therefore, Niskaze Koch HaMenorah Al Yedei Neis Chanuk. That's why the Klal Yisrael were zochet to the Neis Chanuk at that particular time, because he writes it was a time of an abundance of Torah Shebal Peh. So Chiddush of Netziv writes. If you take a look elsewhere, and it's even the very end of Parshas Naso, in the beginning of Baal Oso, and it writes the following, in the very end of Parshas Naso, there the Pasuk describes, the last Pasuk in Naso, Ubavo Moshe Olam Oed, L'dabarito. Moshe Rabbeinu at times would go into Olam Oed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu at that time. And then Parshas Baal Oso begins, Baal Oso Chesaneros. How do you understand that Smichas HaParshinus? With Daberito and Balos Chesaneris. So the Netziv refers to you to the Eben Ezra that writes, how do you understand the Smichas HaParsha? Nismich HaParsha Zu Lahodia Ki Hadibur Yihia Gamba Laiva. That's the Kiddush of Eben Ezra. That the Dvar Hashem is not only present during the day, but also Balos Chesaneris. At the Mitzvah Lokasaneros, right, that the Neros would burn throughout the night, and the Eben Ezra writes that the Smichas HaParshios indicates that concept of Ledabrito, Kadosh Baruch Hu communicating with Moshe Rabbeinu, that was even through Balayla as well. So if you look in the Ramban, in the very beginning of Baal Oso, Ramban writes, it's not true, he quotes the name of the Mechilta. V'halolo Ledabri Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu communicated his nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu during the day and not at night. It's the kasha the Ramban raises against the Eben Ezra. So the Netziv answers as follows. That if you look in the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos, the Parshas Kisisa, the Medrash Rabbah writes that it's true. That during the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated the Torah Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Balayla, Chazar Moshe Be'atzma. At night, that was a Moshe Rabbeinu himself, but Chazar the Dvar Hashem. And it's Ziv Rice, that's exactly the difference. Moshe Rabbeinu would go into Olam Oed, both during the day as well as at night. He would go during the day, literally to receive, to be the recipient of the Torah Hashem. That the Netziv writes is the form of Torah Shebet Zav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu the Torah Hashem. But yet Moshe Rabbeinu would return to Olam Oed at night in order to be Mefalpel, to be Mechadesh within that which he learned during the day from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that the Netziv writes, which is read the Torah Shebal Peh. And that specifically, the Netziv writes, was done at night, right, through the illumination, right, of the menorah. Moshe Rabbeinu would walk into Olam Oed at night, the Neros, the menorah that represents Torah Shebal Peh, would be burning. And that was Tukhodro of Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the recipient in a more passive fashion of the Torah Shebal Zav, but then to develop and reformulate, right, the Torah Shebal Peh that Moshe Rabbeinu did Balayla, or HaMenorah. And Netziv continues and writes, right, in the Harchev Dovar, the very bottom of the Emek Dovar, he writes that this, he thinks, is the Medrash that Rashi and Ramban refer you to, that Chol Shadas Aaron, that Aaron experienced the Chalisa Shadash because, right, he and his Shevet did not participate in the Chanukah HaMizbeach, in the Mishkan, in the time of the Nisiyim. And the answer was, Shalcha Gedolim Yishalahem, Shatamadliku Meitiv Esamen Emes. So Ramban is bothered by the obvious question that in what sense is Hatavas an Ner, Hamlokas an Eros considered to be the Divrei Nichumim to Aaron? But Aaron writes, technically speaking, Hamlokas an Eros, you don't even need a coin for it, it's kosher bizarre. So that's the beautiful Kiddush of Ramban writes that no, it's not a reference to Hadlokas Ner to Mikdash, it's a reference to Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. That it will be the descendants of Aaron, the Chashmonai, the Kohanim, who will see to it that there will come a period of time later in history where there will be a new Chanukah Simizbeach, where the Beis Hamikdash will be dedicated. And that will be Hadlokas Ner Eros, not only in Mikdash Hashem, but even Bigvulin. That was the response to the Chalisha Sadas that Aaron felt. And as Sid just adds, it's not just simply that through the Chashmonaim, there will be a Chanukah Samizbeach, and you'll be able to light the menorah once again. Right? But the menorah represents, in its Sid writes, the Chachmas Hashem, the Chachmas HaTorah, Torah Shebal Peh, that it will be your descendants, right? The Kohanim, Shevet Levi, who will see to it that the Torah is perpetuated and preserved in Knesset Yisrael. And that is represented by the menorah. That is represented by the Nes of Chanukah. If the Nisayon was Mahashkicham Torah Sefa, so the role of the Chashmonaim and the Kohanim, the Bnei Levi, in order to see to it that the Chachmas HaTorah will prevail. It's a fascinating comment you find, this Chasemes writes this, Midrash on Chanukah, Tofresh Ben Dalet, and Rabbi Tzadok HaKohen writes this, in the Sefer Sisei Laila. It's the following Chiddush, that why is it that there's no Sefer as part of Kisvei HaKodesh to commemorate the Nes Chanukah? Purim, yes, but Chanukah, no. So the answer, right, exactly this Chiddush that the Netziv develops, that Chanukah is supposed to represent, right, not just simply the primacy of Torah Hashem, but Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, the Nes of Chanukah is Lanitul Nikasev. Specifically, it was not redacted. It was something that was transmitted Bal Peh, from one generation to the next. And Bedafka, there wasn't De Megillah or Kisvei HaKodesh nor to commemorate the Nes B'tam L'Chashmonai. The whole Nes was the vitality of Torah Shabbat. In this sense, we understand why it was that the Chashmonaim, the Kohanim, Bnei Aaron played such an instrumental role in the Nes Chanukah. Because as the Rambam writes, in the very end of the Shemitah B'Yovel, the role of Shevet Levi and the Kohanim Levim is a twofold one. Number one, their role, of course, is to preserve the Shmiras HaMikdash. But the second role, right, is in order to be the ones who perpetuate and transmit, right, the Torah Hashem. That was always the role of Shevet Levi. The Ram concludes, "No Chashimita V'Yoga Lo Shevet Levi Bovad." Don't get the misimpression and think only relating to them. All the Klai is obligated to do so. But the ones who always represented, right, the Lomdei Torah, the Malamdei Torah, were Shevet Levi. And therefore, if the Nisayon of Chanukah was Lashkicham Torah Sefer, so therefore we understand very well why it was that it was the Zerah Shel Aaron, like this, and as Sid points out in the Medrash, Rabban quotes, were the ones who were responsible for the Nes Chanukah. There's even a fascinating comment that the Torah has. It's found in Tav Yud Zayin. The Torah quotes Rabbeinu Yechiel that writes that the reason that there are 12 months in our calendar is that each month corresponds to a particular Shevet. That's what the Torah writes. Okay? Each month corresponds to a particular Shevet. And Tishrei and Cheshvan Kislev, Reuven Shimon Levi, right? That's Shevet Levi, right? This is represented in Chodesh Kislev. That's a chiddush that the Torah has. That correspondence, and specifically that this man, right, relates uniquely to Shevet Levi. And if it's not coincidental, therefore, that Chanukah is celebrated, right, that this time, this was the Nes of the Chanukah Samizbeach, and specifically was done through Shevet Levi, in order to see to it that the primacy of Torah is something
that would prevail. That Ramban that writes that the mitzvah Lakas Neros HaMikdash is the model after which we pattern the mitzvah of Halakas Neros and Chanukah. That's one of the classic makaros, that Ramban that writes the clear kesher, the link between Chanukah and Balos Chas HaNeros. Balos Chas HaNeros did not just simply mean that this is what you Aaron will do. It means that what your Zera will do in terms of Neis Chanukah. This link between Neros and Mikdash and the midst of Ner Chanukah is evidenced in other halachos as well. We had mentioned before the Ran in Shabbos and Afchav Halachim Abayis, where the Ran writes that why is it that Asli Yishtamish Liorah? It's not just simply because of Bizui Mitzvah, but Asli Yishtamish Liorah, right? The Ran writes is because the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is patterned after the Neros Shiva Mikdash. And Rashi writes the Chiddush in Shabbos Nafchav Gimel that that's why we assume Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. That's Rashi's Chiddush. The Gemara never spells out why you would assume Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah as opposed to Nafchav Osa Mitzvah. Rashi writes it's based on Mikdash. There's a mitzvah Hadlaka. The same thing is true when it comes to Ner Chanukah. And if you look in the Chanukah Sugyas in the Shilti HaGibarim, the Shilti HaGibarim, right, it tells you a Cheshvan that the Shir of Ner Chanukah is supposed to correspond to the shear of the Hadlakas, Neros, and Mikdash as well. Just a few indications of that link. We had mentioned before that the Neros Chanukah represent Chokhmah Satar, no doubt, but the comment of the Miriam Mishlei, the comment of Rebbe Chai, it also represents Shar Chokhmah as well. Chotz Mavodei Hashiva is the Miri writes in his Pirsa Mishlei, Hashem Baruch Hu created various domains of Chachma in the world. And that's supposed to be reflected in the Menorah. The Netziv has the following comment, that certainly this is true, but one of the requirements of the Menorah Mikdash is it has to be Miksha. It has to be formed right out of a single source. There the Netziv writes, the same thing is true understanding Shar Chachma. That Shur HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all areas of Chachma. But none of them can be viewed as an independent domain. But all must be miksha. They all must result from Chachma Hashem, the Chachma Satar. There must be a sense of an Amud Hemtzai. Not all of the Klei HaMenorah had the same status. That the Netziv writes, right, is born out from the point of Miksha. Whereas when it comes to the Klei HaMikdash, right, one can be made independent of the other. Here, right, in order to underscore, right, the unity of Chachma, that everything results from Chachma Hashem and Chachma Satara. So that's why specifically when it comes to Menorah, there is such a concept of Miksha. Doesn't mean even when the Rishonim speak about Shar Chachmos as independent of what the Rambam speaks of. It means as a part of understanding Chachmas Hashem. And that's what the Netziv writes, why it was so crucial that the menorah had to be built in that fashion. Otherwise one could think that you can have disjointed areas of Chachma. Certainly that I cannot think. Okay, Ritz Hashem will continue tomorrow with the Sugya in Daftes. Okay, we have a lot to do in Daftes. It'll take us in a while. But go through at least, if you can, the Gemara Rashi Tosus. We'll start to discuss Shavin Ashe Chaticha Disura. And take a look at the Ktos, Simon Lama Dalit. The Ktos there discusses Shavin Ashe Chaticha Disura as well as Hodos Baldin Kmeidim. To what extent these halachos of Nemanos, perhaps this works as a separate independent disciples. But we'll have to see how it relates directly.